Oi, punters. Are we dumber than Americans? Well, let's find out. You might have seen this video on Instagram or on YouTube. Let's take a little watch.
Oi, what's that?
1,301, 1,000... Oh, yeah, I'm just counting the money that the government here in Alaska just gave me.
What, you lost your job?
No, it's oil money.
What is that?
Obviously, we're in America. They don't have that great welfare, so it's probably not the fact that they lost the job, but oil money, it is a thing. I'll show you a website in a sec.
Well, because I live in Alaska, and Alaska has lots of oil, when the oil companies take the oil and sell it and make a profit, all the residents of Alaska get a dividend. An oil dividend.
Oh, that is awesome. What are you doing now?
Oh, sorry, now I'm just counting my son's oil money.
He gets money too?
Well, he owns oil just as much as every other Alaskan resident.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
Oh, hey, I mean, talk about the lucky country. You've got every mineral under the sun in the ground there. You must be getting so many mining dividends.
No.
A coal dividend?
No.
A gas dividend?
Nope.
Uranium dividend?
Nah.
Lithium dividend?
Nope.
Well, you exported just as much oil as we did, and you're telling me you don't get an oil dividend?
No. Actually, I think we subsidize our fossil fuel companies more than they pay us in royalties.
What?
Come on.
Oh, hang on. You pay them to take your resources so that they can make billions of dollars. And you're not getting a dividend.
Don't have to laugh.
You're getting scammed, bro.
Yeah, okay. I guess we're not as progressive as you guys.
What'd you call me? I voted for Trump.
So I wanted to put that thing at the end there where... Alaska is a very Republican state, so it's technically like very conservative. An oil dividend. What the hell is that? Because Australia mines almost everything under the sun, and I've never gotten an oil dividend, a lithium dividend, any kind of dividend from those resources. So let's take a look at what Alaska's doing here. So Alaskans, if you live in Alaska, you get $1,312 a year, and that's each person in the family. So if you've got a family of four, you're getting a fair chunk of change. It's so interesting. Obviously, this, in this photo here, it's this place. It's like, hey, we cash your PFD checks, which is your oil money check. And the funny thing is that it's such, obviously, it's a yearly event when all the Alaskan residents get their oil dividend. They've got sales. So it's like Black Friday, but in Alaska, they're like, hey, PFD sale, you just got cashed up. Coincidence, we've got a couch sale. Come buy a couch. So here's what's great about this. It has its problems, but here's what's great is that Alaskan residents, they know that they are entitled to money that comes from those resources. That's what we Aussies have not worked out and do not really know. Coal, lithium, uranium, gas, natural gas, we have all of these things. And some of them do pay royalties, but a lot of them don't. And we don't have that sense of capitalist entitlement, realizing that we are the bloody owners of this damn resource. So give us our bloody dividend. So it does have its challenges because obviously now Alaskans get the cash and the government can't take it and reinvest it into schools and education. Obviously what we need governments to do. So every time the government says, oh, how about you guys take a little bit less than that oil dividend and we can invest in a school or something like that. The residents are like, hell no, give me my damn cash. So obviously what we do with the royalty and the dividend that we get, whether it's pooled in the government, whether we do what Norway does, which is put it in a sovereign wealth fund and invest it, the smartest thing to do. The great thing about this idea is that citizens know that they are entitled to this cash from this resource. And so let's look at Australia. What can we learn from this so that we are not dumber than Americans? So Australia has a lot of natural gas. In fact, we're the second largest exporter of natural gas in the world. And did you get your dividend? Did you get your check in the mail? Are we getting sweet, sweet royalties in a sovereign wealth fund? The answer is no, because Australia taxes its gas exports so weakly that we pay more in HECS than we do in the PRRT. Now, the PRRT is the resource rent tax. This is the payment that we are supposed to be getting as citizens and owners of that gas. Long story short, it's a convoluted, complex kind of tax structure system that does not work. So here is what's been happening with these exports as it goes up. Like, it is booming. So much since, 2015, it just starts to boom. 2023, Russia invades Ukraine. We've got Australia, everyone wants Australian gas. So you would think, right? Oh, surely we're making heaps of money because the exports are going up. Well, let's go take a look at another graph. Whoa, hang on here. This is taxes and fees paid by oil and gas companies per $100 of revenue. So we're talking taxes and fees for both oil and gas. We do have some oil, I think. So this blue down the bottom here is the PRRT. It is shrinking significantly. And it really began in 2012. Oh, I wonder which government got in 2012. And even with a change of government on this end, in 2021, it still hasn't changed. The government has deliberately discounted or made the PRRT so ineffective and useless with whatever loopholes they've done that we are getting nothing. And then we look at corporate taxes. Well, at least maybe they'll pay tax. Well, in fact, with exports and revenue soaring, that's shrinking as well. So as I was doing my tiny bit of Googling, I came across this propaganda website by Petroleum Australia. Jeez, I wonder who they're in bed with. And I saw this little section on this website. Obviously, do you think these guys are a fan of it? Turns out, the independent Callaghan Review confirmed that the PRRT is an effective profits tax, which delivers over the lifespan and higher and a return higher than royalties. So we're foregoing royalties, you know, like the payment that we should get for just taking our resources to say, oh, if we tax it on the other end with a PRRT, with the profits, we're going to make so much more money. Well, data's in, kids. We're getting friggin' scammed. So the reason why I bring up this Alaskan oil dividend is because, in a way, it's the smarter thing to do to help its citizens. I don't know if they've done this intentionally, but if you're a citizen of Alaska, you every year are reminded that that oil in the ground is yours. And if anyone wants to take it, they should bloody pay you for it. So are Aussies dumber than Americans? In this instance, hells yes we are. I don't know if you need to have take another look at this graph to answer that question, but yes, we are so dumb that we are letting or encouraging these gas companies and oil companies to not pay us for what they're taking. What a scam. And then we allow them to get away with paying no taxes. What a bloody scam. Thanks for watching, punters. Feel free to share this with any punter who you think might not know just how scammed we're getting. And if you would like to help make politics simple for the everyday punter, like me, you can join We the Punters over on Patreon. Like, subscribe. Cheers, punts.
Hi everyone, Rod Cullison. I just wanted to, I'm actually out on a walk at the moment. It's a beautiful sunny day in Perth. And I just wanted to give you a quick live. I want to keep walking and I will do that. But I want to show you something that's very troubling to me. And that is, I'm going to take you around to this car park, okay? As you can see there, normal people have pulled up to park their car. But what is really growing in Western Australia and right around Australia is where I'm seeing young mothers, and this government is leaving them behind because they have a right to the profits. But here we go. Young mothers, homeless, dressing kids for school and living like this. And yet our politicians keep getting pay rises, and this is something that GAP is going to definitely address. This makes me so upset. I just cannot believe that we would be treating Australians, allowing this to happen, and using trees for towel rails. I mean, you know, come on, this is unacceptable. And but look, I just wanted to, this is a reality check really, and yeah, I just wanted to bring that to your attention. And also keep watching, got some really good stuff coming up, and I'll be back in touch with you soon. Bye for now.
if in you can zoom out and see what the whole thing's about. If in you can see life for what it is, miserable life, what a miserable world, what a misery it is. If in your proud, too tall to see, oh, we are pretty small. Even you can't see life for what it is. What a miserable life, what a miserable world, what a misery it is.
I've often asked myself, what do some of these bureaucrats do in Canberra? How do they justify being paid such an extraordinary amount of money? How do they sleep at night knowing most taxpayers are struggling? Well, I thought I'd take a deep dive into some of their salaries this morning. We've got politicians, bureaucrats, public sector employees who are living large, pocketing hundreds of thousands of dollars. In some cases, it's over $1 million. Do they deserve it? Well, I'll let you be the judge. Let's start with the politicians. The Commonwealth Remuneration Tribunal announced a 3.5% pay increase for members of Parliament last week. That means the base salaries for MPs will increase by nearly $8,000. A backbencher will earn $233,000. The Prime Minister will pocket $606,000. Now, some would argue that's not much when you're running a country. But I think most agree, if there was a performance review, Anthony Albanese would be told to lift his game. The New South Wales Premier, Chris Minns, earns an annual salary of $416,440. But where it starts to become embarrassing is the public sector. There are at least 32 public sector employees earning over $1 million. The Australian Financial Review looked at the same thing last year. The top earners list is dominated by employees from government business enterprises. They include Snowy Hydro and Australia Post. The top employees often receive large bonuses on top of generous base salaries, so I thought I'd rattle off some names for you. Greg Moriarty, who's the Secretary of Defence, he's paid over $1 million. The Chief of the Defence Force is the same. Reserve Bank Governor Michelle Bullock owns over $1 million. The CEO of Australia Post, Paul Graham, 2.3. Even the managing editor of the ABC, David Anderson, is on a handsome $1.1 million. Now, I don't begrudge anyone earning as much money as possible, but we're the ones paying their salaries, you and me, the taxpayer. At the same time, Australians can't afford to put food on the table. They can't afford to pay their electricity bills at the moment. We are in the cost of living crisis, for goodness sake. So how does a couple struggling at Penrith think that's fair? How do they accept it when they're eating two-minute noodles just to get by? Do you see what I mean? It doesn't pass the pub test. And that brings me to the Governor-General of Australia. This is a coveted position which has been held by some ultra-impressive people. Our current Governor-General is David Hurley, who's a former Chief of the Defence Force. He served his country with great distinction. The same goes for Sir Peter Cosgrove, who's a war hero. The incoming Governor-General is a businesswoman and political activist. Sam Mostyn will become the King's representative in Australia on July 1. Ms. Mostyn will perform important constitutional and ceremonial duties. She'll travel far and wide to celebrate our achievements, mark significant milestones, and support people facing adversity. Her predecessor took home $496,000, but Sam Mostyn will be earning a bit more than that. Ms. Mostyn will earn $709,000 a year. So she's getting a pay rise of $200,000 or 43%. She'll earn $100,000 more than the Prime Minister. I mean, what a joke. Now, I know there's pomp and ceremony attached to the royals, but this is ridiculous. Let's be honest, it's $700,000 to virtually shake a few hands, stand there and sing the national anthem, deliver a few speeches, which will no doubt become politically motivated if you look at a track record, and swear in ministers of the Crown. How do they justify an annual wage of 700K? According to the Assistant Minister to the Prime Minister, Patrick Gorman, he told Parliament yesterday that the salary was calculated in accordance with the estimated average salary of the Chief Justice of the High Court. Mr. Gorman said Section 3 of the Constitution prevents a Governor-General's salary from being altered during the term of office, and it's necessary to set the next salary at a level appropriate for the duration of this term. Well, who in Canberra thought this would be a good idea? How is a $200,000 pay rise and a whopping $700,000 appropriate? The minister spoke about Ms. Mostyn not getting any other entitlements, like a military pension. But who cares? She's a successful businesswoman who's been offered a prestigious role. I'm tipping Ms. Mostyn's already got plenty of money in her super account. So why is the Governor-General deserving of a $200,000 pay rise? It's not as if the role will involve more work. She'll live at Yarralumla, be driven around in a comm car. And guess who's footing the travel bill both domestically and internationally? Yep, you guessed it, the Australian taxpayer. Brian Marlowe is the president of the Australian Taxpayers Association, and he's slamming the increased wage. Mr. Marlowe says Labor is out there pretending they care about hard-working Australians. Meanwhile, they're paying overpaid bureaucrats even more. We are at a time when people have been annihilated by interest rate hikes. It doesn't stack up. He's right. As I just said, it does not pass the pub test. A ceremonial position like that is not deserving of a $700,000 salary. And if you think about it for a second, I mean, it must be a tough life. You live in a Canberra mansion or Admiralty House overlooking Sydney Harbour. You'd like to think Sam Mostyn will use her position to make a difference. She's a former National Mental Health Commissioner. But I won't be holding my breath because she's been outspoken in the past about things like climate change. She's a lefty who's been given a cushy role by her Labor mates. I personally think the position of Governor-General should be reserved for those who have served their country. The war heroes, the former High Court judges. We're instead getting a left-leaning political activist who has been a corporate high flyer for years.
Now, number two, what does a belligerent occupation, in our case here in Australia, what does it look like? What does it look like, right? Now, I say, I'm not giving you the whole, you know, intimate picture, but I'm just giving you a feel for it, right? It is, right, all of our parliaments, right, all of our courts, all of our law enforcement, right, which is the police and the prosecutions and so on. It's all of these local councils. It's things like the taxation office, right? It's also these banks and bankers, the Federal Reserve, right? Okay, it's not ours. You have United Nations contracts that undermine our sovereignty, and you have the World Health Organization contracts and covenants, right, that undermine our sovereignty. So that just gives you a bit of an idea, right, of what the occupancy looks like, what shape it is.
They're afraid of you noticing what's going on and speaking your mind and standing up, and you're sitting there thinking that you don't matter. Well, if you don't matter, then why are they spending trillions of dollars on trying to keep you quiet? Our voices matter. Our actions matter. How we live matters. And if we don't realize that we're falling into this trap...
We need to come together and do one thing. Stop participating. And when we do that, the game is over. When we literally say Monday morning, we're not going to go to work. Imagine if 30 million people didn't go to work Monday. Imagine if 30 million people didn't buy gas on Monday. Imagine if 30 million people went to the bank on Monday and said, I want to withdraw all my money. They can't even give it to all 30 million because only 15% of the cash is available on hand at any given time. The rest is fake zeros and ones. That would collapse the banking system in one day. You see the power in that? You have the power. We all have the power. But what's keeping us back from doing this? Fear. Oh my God, if I don't go to work, I'm going to get fired. And if they don't participate in it, and I'm the only one that doesn't show up for work, I'm going to lose out, and I'm not going to be able to pay my rent. I'm not going to be able to make my car payment, and so forth and so on. You see the trap they have us in? They have us in this system where we're afraid to work together. We're afraid to be like, man, we're brothers. We should be, you know, link up. Let's do this together. So that's where we got to get to, guys. We got to get to the point where we're literally all on the same accord. And that's going to happen. We've got to get to that point.
If we want to get our country back under our care and control here, our custody, and to remove the belligerent occupation, then all of it must go. All of it. Not this or that, but all of it. And what does that all of it mean? Well, it's parliaments, it's local councils, it's courts, it's law enforcement, it's taxation office, because all of it, according to the entire body of evidence that has been published by some of the best researching people, I think, in our family, broader family, that I've just aforementioned, they say it's belligerent, right? They say it's illegal. They say it's all fake. They say there's no common seal. They say all sorts of things, right? And they prove it.
G'day, Aussies. Look, we know courage is as rare as rock and horse shit. But find some within yourself to get on and sign up for the National Strike. www.nationalstrikeaustralia.org. Let's end this belligerent occupation and take our country back and give our children a future that we want, not what they want.
Right. Now,